songs of television specials and movies. Our family watched White Christmas last night, part of one of our traditions. But Frosty the Snowman, Jingle, 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 you can hear those sleigh bells ring, and songs that focus purely on the festivities of the season. Deck the Hall, City Sidewalks, I'll Be Home for Christmas. These are songs that are so familiar that I considered enlisting Carol to do a little Name That Tune with me. Because I figured all of these you guys could pick up in five notes or less. Some of you have no idea what we're talking about with Name That Tune, but there are some of us who remember that game show. These are songs that take root in our heart, that echo in our minds, that shape our hearts. There's no doubt Christmas is a season of singing. But we shouldn't be surprised by that, for that's been true from the very beginning. Luke presents the narrative of Jesus' birth as if it were a grand musical, a la Andrew Lloyd Webber or Lin-Manuel Miranda. It's filled with real characters facing real challenges who, in the face of this reality, this overwhelming reality, sing. Now, my husband Steve, whom some of you know, is not a huge fan of musicals. he likes them better when they're live on stage, but even then, it's not his favorite form of entertainment because he finds it unrealistic and contrived to have characters suddenly break out into song. The story is moving along, and he's caught up in the story, and then everything stops so that someone can sing about what has just happened. But what I suspect is that Luke, unlike my husband, would have loved musicals, because that is exactly how he writes the opening chapters of his gospel. In every scene, the action stops for a musical interlude. They sing in response to their problems and their opportunities. Elizabeth, infertile for so long, discovers she's pregnant and sings. Zachariah, made mute ever since he doubts that Elizabeth is actually pregnant, finds his voice at the birth of his son and sings. Their cousin Mary hears that she is going to be a mommy and she sings. Angels sing, Simeon sings, everybody is breaking out into song. They all sing praise to God because of the glorious things that God is doing, and most especially because God is in their midst. Everyone sings because there is some news that is just too good, some events that are too pivotal for mere words to express, and so we sing. But is the Christmas story really one of those events? If you were Mary, would you sing? After all, being great with child really wasn't that great for her. It wasn't something that she had chosen or planned. It wasn't something she could explain or even understand. It put her in a very awkward position with her fiancé. And though the angel told her not to be afraid, there was a lot to be afraid of. It was likely that this baby would never be born because it was likely that this pregnancy would result in her being stoned to death in the public square. Simeon, later after Jesus was born, summed it up perfectly when he met Mary and the child. She and Joseph were following the tradition and had brought Jesus to the temple for purification when he was 8 days old. And Simeon took one look at her and at the baby, realized who they were, and told Mary, "A sword will pierce your side," like it hadn't already. From day one, motherhood was not easy for Mary. A disorienting conception, followed by giving birth in a barn far from home, then years living as refugees in Egypt to escape Herod's wrath, Jesus' adolescent independent, and then his departure from home to take up life on the road as an itinerant preacher. No wedding, no children, no care for her in her old age. Instead, death on a cross and the agony of burying her firstborn. And yet, Mary sings. In face of all of those realities, she sings a song of joy and praise. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And she sings a song that is more of a battle chant than a lullaby. God has shown strength with God's arm, has scattered the proud, has brought down the mighty from their thrones. The rich God has sent empty away. Not exactly one of the sentimental and jolly songs we generally associate with this season or with this story. But this is a song of reversals. It is a song about the high being brought low and the low being lifted up. But what I find really interesting about this song is that it is sung in the present tense. It is even though none of the things that she sings about have actually yet happened, they are reflections of her hope that things can be different, expressions of belief that through Jesus a new world is coming. And yet she sings as if the promise were already realized, as if that future were today. But that is the way it is with songs of liberation. In the singing, a new reality is born, a new perspective is found, a new future is formed, created. To sing in the face of oppression and fear is a powerful thing, which is probably why in 1984, at the height of the battle against apartheid, the government in Pretoria, South Africa, banned the lighting of candles or the singing of Christmas carols in Soweto. When asked why by the press, the response from one official was, "Well, you know how emotional black women are. Christmas carols have an emotional effect on them." What he was really saying is, "Let the oppressed sing, and you never know where it might lead." As I mentioned earlier, Silent Night is celebrating its 200th anniversary this year. And it is so beloved, it has been translated over the years into 140 different languages. But one of the most famous stories associated with it happened in World War I that will be remembered next week in the drama. It was Christmas Day on the Western Front, and the warring sides had not come to an agreement to create a ceasefire. So the battle was supposed to continue. But across no man's land, British soldiers heard a familiar tune. Sung in German, they didn't recognize the words, but they knew the tune. And they joined singing in English, "Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm and all is bright." Actually, nothing in their life was calm or bright. And yet by singing as if it were true, it actually became true, at least for that day. For both sides laid down their weapons and met in peace on the battleground to share whatever Christmas treats they had and to celebrate the birth of the Prince of Peace. Some of you have been around long enough to remember the 60s and early 70s and the music that defined that era. It was the songs of Janis Joplin and Dylan that drove students into the streets of Detroit and Berlin, London, and Chicago. "Times They Are A-Changing" and "We Shall Overcome" express not only a hope, but the reality of social upheaval and change. Shakespeare wrote, "Music hath power to soothe the savage beast." But the opposite is also true. Music has the power to release, to pull down, to rise up, to liberate. And that's why I believe Mary sings ahead of time, in the present tense, as though all that she sings about has already happened. Because in the singing, the ball begins to roll. Something new begins to happen. That's why song is so important in the face of death. At such times, words fail us. We don't know what to say. No words seem true or adequate to the situation. He's better off now. We're thinking of you. It's God's will. Give it time. It won't hurt like this forever. And even though all these words may be true, none of them are adequate. So often the best we can do is to give into the silence and simply be present until the moment when we finally gather in our church to confront our loss and to commend our loved one to God's eternal care. And then what do? We sing, "A Mighty Fortress for All the Saints. Amazing Grace, How Great Thou Art." We sing even though we may not feel like it. We sing in pure defiance, sheer faith, in tight-fisted revolution against death. For death, like all tyrants, hates music. Martin Luther once preached a sermon that claimed that Christ's nativity contained three miracles. The first is that God became human. The second was a virgin conceived. And the third was Mary believed. And of the three, Luther believed that the greatest miracle of Christmas was the last. Mary believed. Despite all of the oppression, the closed doors, the brick walls, the blind alleys, she believed and she sang. Even in times of trouble, the song must be sung. Especially in times of trouble, the song must be sung. For hope burns eternal in the human heart, and faith remembers God's promises and God's salvation, and we are given a song. The Christmas season is a season of song. Wherever you go, the songs of Christmas surround you. But don't let the sweetness and the beauty and the familiarity fool you. There is power in the carols that are playing in the background of our lives. And it's not by accident that more people know the songs of Christmas than they know any other collection of music. For what else does one do in face of the birth of a Savior? What other option is there when God comes and becomes one of us? The only thing we can do is sing. Sing a song of love, a song of peace, a song of joy, a song of revolution. Certainly, there were dark days ahead for Mary. Her joy as a mother would be mixed with much pain. But for now, Mary believes and she sings. And by her example, she invites us to do the same. For there are dark days in our lives as well. Not everything is Christmas cheer and joyous tidings. The days grow short. The nights grow cold. Our lives do not always go according to plan, and we cannot see the future. And like Mary, we find ourselves confused and frightened. But even in these times, we are given a song to sing. And by faith, we can sing it. Sing it either because we believe it or because we come to believe it by singing it. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Ransom Israel, ransom our world, ransom us. Even if you do not see any sign of it today, even if you do not feel the movement in your life, it is true. It is coming, and it's something worth singing about. A future worthy of song, a joy that only music can contain. So sing. Sing tomorrow into today. Sing hope into despair and courage into fear. Sing the reality that things will never be the same. We will never be the same. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and his name will be called Emmanuel, God with us. God with you and God with me. And that is definitely something worth singing about. Amen.